The current members of the Agmar branch of the Golden Tree Adventuring Guild stand in a now empty council chamber in the heart of the tree city of Deepwood. All of you are, I would imagine, still reeling from the sudden surprise battle against the mysterious stranger called the Shepherd, and all that you experienced and learned. There is still a whiff of ozone, the sights of smashed glass and furniture. You see fading ice patches and puddles of blood. Feeble but recovering council members and an empty mystical tree. That is all that remains of this epic battle. All that remains, save for you all. And the unmoving suit of armor, housing your undead ally, the Fortunate. The Fortunate still has their hand on the shoulders of a pair of you, but they are absolutely covered in vines and vegetation, poking out from every nook and crevice in their formerly impenetrable armor. As you hear the oncoming sounds of the reinforcements that seem like they were sent for hours ago, you have a moment to process and a moment to react.
Val, turning from where she watched the Shepherd leave through the portal they summoned, their words still ringing in her ears of they weren't real, has her in disbelief, and she turns to confirm what she knows is true in that the Fortunate is real, but turns to find emptiness and rushes to them, but getting no physical reaction when she comes close, and knowing she should feel uncomfortable and that prickle on the back of her neck is missing. In desperation to find her friend, she casts Mind Link.
You're met with nothing.
Val hugs the Fortunate and buries her face. And you can see her shoulders are moving with her tears.
Castquin moves a little bit closer to the Fortunate and to Valeska. And in the same way that everyone has, you know, we've all experienced the aura that the Fortunate puts out. And as he gets closer and realizes that he feels fine, that lack causes his stomach to drop. And more than the loss of the aura, the loss of the Fortunate's presence in this moment hits him really hard. Castrin kind of goes around to look at the Fortunate in the face, in, you know, through the mask to see past all the plants if there's anything left. He hears Valeska's tears and, by his own confirmation, realizes the Fortunate is gone. It takes a moment, and Kaskrin realizes he's lost another comrade. And they come and go. This life is dangerous. It's rewarding, but it can be devastating like this. And he puts his hand to his chest in a salute and says, "May the gods, wherever they are, be kind to this one as they move from this life to the next."
Selv will turn around, and I'm guessing the Fortunate's arms are still kind of up where they were on our shoulders. And the first thing I'm going to do is grab the arm of the Fortunate, and kind of similar to what Cass had done, and just look and see if I can see any movement, anything at all. And then realizing that that uncomfortable aura is gone, I am going to look at the armband that was on the Fortunate and see if it is still on there, or if it looks like it's like now kind of coming off now that there's no undead presence in the armor.
As you guys are observing and taking this in, it is really difficult because, other than, of course, the vines, the vegetation, they look totally unchanged. Nothing is different. The Fortunate has stood very still many times before. And the only difference is that you're just, there's nothing there. There's no reactions. Nothing.
I'll step away slightly and give a deeper than normal bow. And I will say in Draconic,
"Your oath was heard."
I think throughout this whole scene, Checkers has been kind of around the perimeter, and he's been surprisingly quiet this whole time. And anyone looking at him can just kind of see him watching the scene, watching the Fortunate in anticipation, almost. And for Checkers, he's thinking that there's a joke at the end of this. There's a punchline. After seeing the Fortunate stand stock still before, he's thinking, there's going to be a moment where they get up, where everything's fine. They shake off the vines and they hug Val as hard as they can. And he just waits for that. As the people start coming in, as the reinforcements show up, he just stands and waits for when the Fortunate gets back up.
As everyone starts to filter in, Kaskrin will go up to the Fortunate, and in much the same way that you would close someone's eyes, he will touch them and move their armor back into a presentable state. Their arms at their side, their spear in their hand, standing at attention, ready for what comes next.
The cacophony hits very suddenly. The doors that you walked through are thrown open, practically kicked off their hinges. You see up front, leading dozens of other raven mounts and others is Juniper. At the same time, two giant ravens fly through either window that had been cracked open earlier in the fight, and you can hear more kind of outside. It is just this huge hit of activity and noise and shouting and battle cries and confusion. And you all see, with his goggles kind of pulled up onto his forehead, you can see Juniper's eyes look at you guys. In an instant, Juniper goes from this kind of intense battle grimace of determination and looks around, seeing no combatants, seeing only you guys, and sensing the mood even kind of amid all of this chaos, and you see their eyes widen. He just looks at you guys, and you can tell that his heart breaks for you guys. Eventually, battle-ready warriors give way to medics and healers and other leaders who look after you and look over the members of the council who are now kind of up. They are weak, but they are conscious and moving around, but no longer imbued with that same magic that they were kind of when they were presiding. What few witnesses there were to the attack, including the council, Juniper, even Warren and Baltar, the two bards, quickly report the facts to everyone of what happened, leading to kind of a bit of a stunned silence. Eventually, after kind of some debriefing and healing and all that, a raven mount comes up to you and offers to take you guys back to the inn where you had stayed the previous night.
So if that's the case, if they're starting to lead us away, I will motion towards Cass and then kind of gesture towards the fortunate.
They need to come back with us.
Val has not left her embrace of the fortunate, but will, knowing it's time to leave the council chambers, she will take a few deep breaths to steel herself and ask the Raven Mount to bring a stretcher. With looks to Selv and Cass, kind of communicate that we need to move and move them with us. She'll kind of make sure that's happening, but then just look to make eye contact with Checkers.
I think Checkers looks back at you, Val, with a set of complicated emotions in his eyes. And you, with your incredibly high passive insight, it feels like you're just reading his thoughts right off of him. There's this confusion, there's this resignation, but there's also this underlying almost determination that is kind of building inside Checkers right now. And he just looks at you and gives you the smallest nod and turns to go help the others.
You guys are escorted back to the tavern. It is unchanged and relatively empty. The bartender who was there the night before and this morning is nowhere to be found, but Warren and Baltar, the two tattooed storytellers, are sitting there kind of with a 1,000-yard stare when you guys kind of come up. And when the door opens, they kind of look, snap over to you, and kind of just both stand up as you guys are all walking in. Neither say anything as you come in. as they see the Fortunate come in, but they just take you guys in and say as much as they can without words. You guys can certainly leave, you know, put the Fortunate up in a room, and you all find yourselves back in a comfortable place where you had shared meals not long ago. It is a little emptier. There were two additional individuals here this morning when you left. Two fewer now.
Kaskrin finds himself sitting at a table, maybe not necessarily knowing exactly how he got here over the past few hours. With the loss of the Fortunate fresh in his mind, but also just the events of the past few hours, of the past few days, all competing for space, all trying to be made sense of. And unconsciously, he just blurts out, "What have we gotten ourselves into? Just even yesterday, I was trying to find a warm bed. That was all I was worried about. And now we've got a former guilder trying to, what, fight the Ultra Giant, trying to fight the gods? And he was just toying with us. We're lucky we didn't all end up the same way." And his hands are just bunched up in fists at the powerlessness that he feels.
I think Val is just nodding her head as Cass is talking, and will reach out a hand to place on his shaking fist and say, "You're right. We all could have died. We didn't. Most likely because the shepherd didn't think we were enough of a threat and let us see what they're planning, why they're planning it. But that's what we use. Not today. I can't today. But we do a little bit each day. Because we have to."
And Kaskrin will take your hand in a friendly, reassuring grip. "That's right. Just one step in front of the next."
Self will go to the, basically to the bar and just kind
hops
of
over.
Look behind it and just, grabs a deck of cards from behind there and just brings it out to the table and just takes them out and begins shuffling. And then doesn't say anything to any of the others and just starts dealing.
I'm debating if Val goes and gets Mal's wart just to make her feel worse.
Because I think
feeling worse might make her feel better.
Kaskrin definitely will. And Kaskrin will take the cards almost automatically after a week now of having played games every night with the Fortunate. And, you know, he lets out a little chuckle. He sees what's going on. Takes a look at his hand, sets it back down, and he'll go to the bar too and kind of start fixing everyone up something to drink. He comes back with a couple of cocktails, a couple of ales, but more importantly, he comes back with four shot glasses and a full bottle of Malzwort that he found dusty, stuffed away in a cabinet.
Next to the bottle with the poison.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Next to the cleaning supplies.
I found this leveling out the bar. Yeah. It's like, and then the bar is like tilted into the woods. Like.
And he pours everyone a shot. And with the cards on the table, he kind of looks at everyone and just says, "To the Fortunate,
To the fortunate.
To the fortunate.
Sorry. To the fortunate.
Steve also toasted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As Checkers is holding his shot up, he looks at it, and he looks at all of you sitting around the table. You know, we didn't know the fortunate very long. As far as I know, the fortunate's only been around, like, a couple years, maybe?
Because they, like, regained... They would be young. They would probably be, like, Mac. I don't remember the exact timeline, but, like...
They regained sentience, like, a few years ago?
Yeah, when Agmar got resettled, which I think was... I don't remember exactly, but, yeah, like, the oldest the fortunate would be, like, maybe Val's age.
When you think about it, the fortunate wasn't really that much older than any of us are.
Cass is, like, fucking middle-aged.
Cass
He's an
just
old man.
Sits quietly and sipping his smell
wort. Nursing my drink.
Yes, we're all very...
We're all teenagers.
We're all teenagers or in our early to mid-20s.
Yes. What's up, my fellow youths?
That's the prime adventuring age, right? Yeah. You start when you're young and then you go from there.
It's between 2 and 55.
Right. Yeah. Ignore the ever-growing brilliant white beard.
Yeah, right.
How do you like the current musical stylings?
And Checkers is happy you got a chuckle out of that one. But I was thinking, they didn't really get that long of a life. When you think about it, they were going to live forever. And just by chance, that all ended today. I wish we could have done more to help them live the life they wanted to live. And Checkers just drinks his shot.
And then immediately passes out.
Yeah. You see him slowly turn purple.
There is one other thing I would like to do. At some point, kind of while we're playing cards, I am going to motion for both Warren and Baltar to come to the table. I'm going to deal them in. And then I'm going to say,
let me tell you a story of how the fortunate got their name.
After a night of reflection and remembering and feeling, I imagine some of you are just out, just hit by exhaustion. I imagine others might have had trouble going to sleep. But as it always does, the next day comes. It is a gloomy, rainy day. Any who come down in the morning see there is already food set out, but again, no bartender immediately apparent. You would kind of similarly see Warren and Baltar, who are also kind of already there and up, looking probably slightly hungover as they have had yet to experience Mal's wort and all their travels. And we'll say not waiting for you guys, but kind of relatively after you guys are all up and have gathered or shown yourselves, you hear a knock on the door. There's kind of an awkward moment, I would imagine, where everyone just is like, wait, are we supposed to
answer it?
It's a public inn. Are we supposed to open the door?
The door opens. And the head of an old tiefling man pokes through the door. They are wearing, you immediately recognize as the same robes as the Council of Elders was wearing yesterday. And you can see they have these big kind of pointed horns and this very wrinkly but still very alert, intense face. And they kind of poke their head in and you see wisps of gray hair kind of coming between these horns and combing all the way back in kind of a short little hairstyle. As they kind of step in and kind of look around the room solemnly, you see behind them is Juniper, the halfling Ravenmount.
Kaskrin will stand up from the table that he was sitting at and go to be respectful and greet the council member, just in a short nod of respect.
The elderly man kind of looks around and takes your, you know, kind of like looks at you again respectfully back and looks at all of you, and they say, hello. We did not get a formal introduction yesterday for many reasons, but my name is Filigrin Pines. I'm a member of the Deepwood Council of Elders. I am here first and foremost to thank you all for your bravery, your assistance, your heroism, protecting us and protecting one of our city's great secrets and treasures. There is also no amount of sorrow that we can properly share, knowing what you had lost as well, of course.
Thank you, council member. Your words are kind.
None can be kind enough, I am afraid. Do you mind if I sit?
Please come sit.
Foolishly walked all the way here.
I'll pull out a chair.
Oh, thank you. And they kind of like slowly just like squat and kind of like fall into the chair a little bit and let out a big sigh.
I'll put a small plate of maybe some fruit and a little bit, in front of them. And then like a cup of tea or something.
My goodness, I already ate, but I mean. And then like reaches out at least for the tea and takes a tiny sip. And just kind of holds it in their hands.
It is good that you're here. We meant to talk to you yesterday to address the council, and we never quite got a chance to do that.
Yes, yeah. Well, I think yesterday was a different council than the one today. In terms of attitude, we're all still kicking, of course. sorry, like realizes he said a joke for some reason, and he looks and he says, "Oh yes, we will get to the council business, of course. I had truthfully hoped you would speak to me on that matter again, of what I know you came to talk about. But first," and he like gestures at Juniper, who's just kind of been like lurking in the background a little bit. I was wondering if you would help me with something. Juniper, like, slinks up, just super sheepish and, like, trying to be as small as possible, which is pretty effective as a halfling.
I'm just going to kind of look between the council member and Juniper and just kind of back and forth, and I'm getting the impression that this is something that Juniper may or may not feel guilty about. Is that...
Would you like to roll an insight check?
Oh, I would love
Roll a d20 in this game of Dungeons & Dragons.
You know, oh yeah, dice. We use those, don't we? Okay. 10 total.
He is being so... There's so much going on that, like, maybe there's guilt, but, like, it could be any number of feelings. And Filigrin is like, I believe you all know young Juniper. He is one of our youngest but most enthusiastic Raven Mounts.
He is the best Raven Mount we have ever met.
And Filigrin like turns to Juniper and just like kind of just gestures at Self. You're like, oh, see? Well, Juniper is a strange case of Raven Mounts. You see, he came to me this morning, and he said that it was letting in people from the outside that had caused all of this, and that maybe we should continue to keep our elevators closed, so to speak, to the outside world. And, oh, well, that has long been the tradition, of course. But I find myself unsure this morning. And so I wondered if we could get your thoughts on the matter.
And you see Juniper is, like, beet red. And now that he's closer, you can see has, like, red circles around their eyes and, like, are bloodshot and are not looking at any of you.
Filigran is just, it's very difficult to see such a youth of vim and vigor to be so closed-minded, don't you think?
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by A Foul Light Shines, a new free serial novel based on a D&D campaign. The Empire of Fire and Water has known 20 golden years of peace since the end of Agenion's War, a peace which is now in peril. When a ragtag group of friends intervene in a grotesque monster attack, they're too late to save a wounded man who leaves them with an encrypted journal and the words, "Trust no one, Tyr." Can the gang find Tyr, escape the claws of more strange monsters, and uncover the lurking threat to the Empire before it's too late? This story features themes of found family and strength in diversity, and is available for free on Campfire and Royal Road. A Foul Light Shines. Come for the fantasy. Stay for the cheese-obsessed goblin gunslinger.
Hi, everyone. David here with the Midroll. We hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. If you want more of the Reckless Attack crew, come join the community on Discord. The link is in the show notes of the episode and on our website, recklessattack.com. If you want to support the show, head on over to Patreon, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback series, as well as our new series, Reckless a Snack, where we eat snacks and chat about the question of the day. As always, if you like the show, be sure to tell a friend about it too. Thanks so much for listening, and now, back to the episode.
If you are asking for my opinion on this, I think it would have been worse if you did not allow outsiders in. Not that we did everything overly special, but I think the outcome would have been worse if we were not there.
Filigran just kind of is nodding along. I agree.
I think you tried to shut out the outside world, and it still found you. And unless you want Deepwood to become a tomb, you can't shut yourself off. You can't shut this place off to those who would bring life and happiness back. Yesterday was a horrible day. None of us will forget what happened. But I think we all take our experience and grow from it. We need to be there for each other. And we may trust the wrong people, but we can't stop trying to trust.
And I think yesterday, Juniper had the right idea, helping us enter the city and helping us seek an audience with you and the rest of the council.
Oh, Juniper helped you come in, did he? And, like, Filigran, like, very largely and broadly, like, turns to Juniper.
Oh, so you were the one who brought the outsiders in, were you? Very interesting and new information.
Can Val do an insight check on Juniper? Because didn't Juniper tell us they wanted the city open?
You know that they did.
Yeah.
That is, like, Juniper was the one who's like, no one else wants to open the city up. Or at least it doesn't feel like it. And, like, we have to. So for Filigrin to come in saying that Juniper's like...
Well, Juniper's playing some reverse psychology on the council member, and I am here for it.
Or Juniper changed their mind and said, he's like, you know what? Maybe if this is what happens when people do come in, maybe we should just shut the whole thing down.
But Casgrin will continue. And Juniper's the reason that, you know, that we were here able to help. We know that something's happening here in the city. And he kind of gestures towards both of them. We know it's not necessarily safe here. And that you have run away from this problem by closing your doors to the outside. I won't say whether that was the right or wrong choice, obviously. I could not presume to make that decision. But maybe it's time for a change. Maybe it's time to bring things back a little closer to the way things were.
Let me lean on my old age and ask an inappropriate question. Knowing what you know, knowing what had happened and knowing the circumstances in which they happened, do you regret your actions? Do you regret advocating for these refugees, for coming to our city for help?
So, Checkers has been listening this whole time, mostly because he's been passed out on mango from this morning. But at the mention of, do you regret your actions? Checkers pipes up and just says, no, of course not. We wouldn't have gotten to meet all of you if we had done things differently.
Well, we may wish that a certain outcome did not happen. I believe that the choices we made leading up to it, we could not have made any other choice than what we did.
And there are people out there that we know that needed our help. There were refugees from an attack on a nearby town that needed somewhere to go, somewhere safe that they could recover. And so, really, like Sel said, coming up here, talking with all of you, was our only choice. We never would have turned away from that.
And we also needed to fulfill why our friend the Fortunate came with us and help their family, help them in the choices that they made to come with us.
And Filigrin kind of just sits in the silence for a moment and just kind of looks at you all in turn and just kind of pauses and makes eye contact for a few seconds and then moves on to the next. They smile a little bit, and in as much of a sudden rush as someone of this person's obvious age can do anything, they put down their tea, which they have had exactly one small sip of, and start the process of standing back up.
Well, that is all very interesting information and much to think about. Don't you agree, Juniper?
And Juniper is like now looking at all of you, and there's like a pleading in his eyes.
Can Val try to determine what
Absolutely.
They want? 24.
Let me put it this way. Juniper looks like a desperate animal in a way. He wants a cathartic resolution and to know where you guys, how you guys feel about him. He would be just as happy with you saying you never want to see him again and understand that as much as anything else you could do.
I think Val will rise from her chair and Filigren's like making to leave, right?
Yeah, very slowly in starting to shuffle out. But again, it's taking roughly 5 minutes to do so. So plenty of time.
Filigren, we have more to discuss, but I would just like it known that we will always do what we can to help those in need. And it's nice to know you have people like Juniper who do the same for their city and who helped us in turn.
He looks over his shoulder at you and kind of does that like old person pat on the like tricep area. And he very sincerely says, I think you all have said more than enough. And he kind of just nods at you knowingly.
Val is not taking his brush off because she needs questions answered from the council.
Mm-hmm.
And will not let Filigreen out of her sight until they are answered.
Ooh, okay.
So if he makes a move, she is following him.
What questions do you
have?
We
need to know where the fuck Lorana is. She needs to know she can go research this word of power that the shepherd left before they leave. They need to know where the fuck they're going.
Okay.
Val is pissed and she has questions and she is emotionally already done for the day.
It is breakfast. I am distraught.
What? Okay. So he'll mm-hmm. still say like, you've said an thinking like, oh, mm-hmm. we have an understanding. I get what you mean.
Absolutely not.
Definitely not the
Filigren
case.
Filigren has zero insight in this moment.
Correct.
Failed the vibe check.
Right. Exactly.
And Kaskrin will kind of like take a look over at Checkers and like nod a little bit.
And as the council member turns to address Val and just kind of gives her a pat on that shoulder, turns around to leave and hears Val kind of continue the conversation, he looks at the door to see a certain frog standing in front of it, just quietly closing the door on him as the conversation continues.
Now, Mr. Council Member, why don't we sit back down?
Val was not threatening in any way.
Sophie was doing a lot
of
yelling.
And Kaskrin describes
Val was not.
And
do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Pines. I expect you to die.
Have we also read the room wrong?
Yes.
Am I going for it? Also,
you know,
yes.
you came in with this energy, yeah. Deepwood. Why not
yeah,
leave it?
Right.
Filigren, like, looks around and just, like, takes it all in. And, like, his eyes then shoot open wide. He's like, I'm sorry. I thought that was the nice dramatic exit. Oh, no, we can answer any more questions. Please, let's just... And, oh, like...
So I thought that this was going to lead to an actual, like, us having our time in
like
front of the council.
Like a council meeting?
Yeah. That's kind of what I thought this was going. Not that we would ask him all of our questions.
Oh, I thought this was going to lead to combat part two.
Yeah. Oh, this is where he rips off his mask and is the shepherd again.
If we just go back to the bounty house, I'm sure we'll get this all sorted out, right?
I legitimately was like, does Val... in the middle of the night, just go and cry on the bouncy house while sending a message to her mom and just like...
You don't have enough third level spell slots.
I did. I have one left.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I like crafted a message to her mom and everything. And it was going to be like, she goes and sits and lays down on the bouncy house to remember the fortunate just like fucking sinking into it.
Yep.
And like crying. Crying on the bouncy house.
Headcanon for me, at least.
All right, so I will, I guess
Self, I'll bring it back.
Yeah, yeah,
bring
we'll put it, we'll put it, we'll put this in. So, Self will kind of like, you know, stand back up and just say,
would it be possible for us to get an audience with the council today or as soon as possible to discuss the reason we work here?
I'm sorry. I must have been too obtuse. No, we agree with you on the things. Did you not?
We...
This was for...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that is wonderful news, and we are all glad to hear that you will be accepting the refugees.
Yes, right. No, this... I thought this was for Juniper.
And, like, Juniper's just, like, staring and just, like, fucking sanity has snapped in this moment.
No, you... we wanted to, of course, hear from you and we can if it's important that the ceremony and
Self will gesture to Val and just say,
there are other questions.
Oh my
that
god!
We had.
When I said you've said, I said you've said enough, but I thought that was like
you made the move to leave Pellegrin, so we thought we were no longer had access to the council to ask questions.
No one can ever leave.
I thought, wow.
This mistake can never leave this room.
I made mistakes.
You see, we have we have a habit of kidnapping people.
No.
As Juniper can attest to.
Val just gets up and ushers Pellegrin and Juniper to the door. It's like, let's walk and talk, shall we?
Yeah, and Pellegrin is like, oh my god, I am so sorry. And it's like, but it's like walking and it's like, but it's like, please, what can I, how can I help you? And I'm sorry, yeah. I'm here on behalf of the council.
Val will return the bicep pat to Pellegrin and be like, I did appreciate your flair for drama.
It's, yeah, we try very hard. We have this reputation of being this ancient forest city. They want us. We're supposed to be wise and mysterious and, mm-hmm. and oh no.
And it's just like walking off. And like Juniper is like fucking slumped and just cannot believe what is happening. But like Pellegrin is happy to answer any questions that you have, and it does not have to just be Val who is asking these questions.
Well, I think
Val is actually trying to extricate herself.
I think
so
anything
castle checkers aren't there.
So, I think anything that we ask will actually end up coming through Val, but Selv will actually is everybody leaving? Like, you know, Checkers is opening the door. We are heading out.
I'm assuming
them.
Val has to force her way through Checkers.
Oh, okay. So, but we are.
No, I want him here.
I thought we were doing a thing.
We're doing a thing. Cass said to do the thing.
he gave the nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I don't understand.
And Castron's like got the oatmeal bar just like in his hand, ready to like start eating it and just spewing it in places.
So, if we are kind of like headed out,
And again, this is not to leave the city. This was just a fun walk and talk,
right? Yes.
Of like
yes.
out in the. I mean, it's gross out and whatever. And I'm imagining maybe like Juniper, unfortunately, has to hold
as a
an
giant
umbrella.
Leaf, like
yeah,
a giant
like,
leaf,
yeah, a yeah. giant leaf for everyone. But it was literally just like, oh sure, but no, we can walk, and I'll answer your questions. It's fine.
I'm going to, as we're walking, I'm going to kind of walk next to Juniper. And just say,
you did very well in greeting us outside the city. Have you considered being the representative for Deepwood that greets the refugees as they come in?
Juniper, like, is surprised that you're talking to him. Kind of turns around and is just looks at you. And he says, no, I guess I hadn't thought that far ahead. That's. I think maybe I gave you guys the wrong impression. I'm like the lowest on the totem pole here. I'm very new. I've only had my wings for a little while.
That means you do not have as many deep-seated traditional thoughts as a lot of the other members.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, thanks, Self.
And as we're walking, Checkers will kind of come up behind Juniper and just put his arm around him and just go, Juniper, I gotta tell you something. What you did back there was pretty messed up. And I know Cass is really mad with you, regardless of what he really looks like. But I think the best way to kind of smooth all this over would be for you to teach us how to ride one of those cool ravens. Cass would love that. I'll tell you right now. He loves the sky. He loves flying.
Loves to be off the ground.
Loves to be off the ground as much as possible.
And all of a sudden, you see the sky darken. The shadow of Cassgrim looms over both you and Juniper.
I adore the idea that Val, like, was trying to power walk this old man out. And like Self comes up and it's like, hey, you know, let's do a little bit more kind of like glad handing. And then just everyone descends. There's only so fast you can move with Filigrin, unfortunately.
Cassgrim puts one hand on Juniper's shoulder and is like, you did good. And then Cassgrim puts the other hand on Checker's shoulder, says, we need to talk.
Just imagining, too, it's like, Cass's rocky hand just getting slowly tighter and tighter on Checker's tiny shoulder.
So you guys walk and talk. Questions are asked, and some of them are answered on your rainy, dreary, but elucidating walk. After a little while, Filigrin brings you back to the inn you guys have been staying at, and he and Juniper, who is looking in a little bit better spirits now, as they kind of drop you off, say, please, I know that you must be on your way, but I and some of the other members of the council want to send you off appropriately. And Juniper steps forward. And from out of a backpack, they actually pull a second backpack that is identical to the one that they are wearing. It is pitch black, like supernaturally pitch black, where it almost seems like no light is escaping at all, other than there is some kind of gold embroidery of lots of kind of leaf and tree and nature patterns all over it. Juniper says all the raven mounts get one of these. It's a backpack, one of the magical ones that you can store things in. It's very handy, and there aren't as many raven mounts as there used to be, and we had an extra, and we thought you all could use it on your travels and could use it to ensure that your friend was able to be taken with you and travel safely. Eventually, you kind of make your way back to that same elevator area that you had risen up just last night. Gathered there, kind of up on a platform, is the entirety of the Deepwood Council of Elders. But there are also, it becomes clear to you as you are approaching, a lot of people in Deepwood. All the raven mounts seem to be there, and there are quite a few. You see there are ravens kind of circling all over, perched over very densely. Every rooftop is covered with ravens, big and small. And there are regular people, some regular people who are here, and families, and the old and the young, and it seems like there's just a gathering of the city here. Juniper kind of comes out to meet you guys and nods and is looking a little bit better, and they kind of like gesture you into the middle of this crowd. You see this council of elders, some of them are seated. They are very old. But you see in the middle is Filigrin. He sees you guys come up and kind of raises a hand to the crowd, who all kind of like erupt in this big cheer for you all. After it dies down, Filigrin looks down at you all and says in this suddenly very supernaturally loud voice,
"I am Filigrin Pines, and today I serve as the single voice of the council. We, of course, must thank these members of the Golden Tree Adventuring Guild for their great services yesterday, for saving us and possibly all of Deepwood. These fellow mortals will always be known as heroes here. We, the Council, have also made an important decision. Long ago, this place served as a beacon of hope and of connection and of community, and we retreated from that in shame, but also in fear. And starting today, we will not be afraid. We know now, thanks to these guilders."
And he kind of looks down at Val for a second and says,
"That we can't shut ourselves off to people who might bring us light and happiness. And we, of course, know that we can bring much light back to the world ourselves."
In that moment, you see the giant mirror that is hundreds of feet up and back inside this tree that kind of served as this lighthouse just immediately brightens and shines, and that there is just this beautiful beam of light arcing out from Deepwood.
Self will actually look at the beacon and just say,
"Thousands of candles can be lit from a single candle, and the life of the candle will not be shortened."
Filigrin says, "It is time for us to grow again. We must be there for each other and for the world again. And we must do the best that we can with what we know and what we believe. And we all have the Golden Tree to thank for reminding us of that lesson."
You see Warren and Baltar are among the crowd, kind of step forward, and they shake your hands and, you know, kind of give you hugs. And Kaskrin, Warren looks at you kind of for a moment, and then as he shakes your hand, slips you a small piece of paper. As cheers ring out, you see four giant ravens swoop down and land in front of you all. You recognize one of them as Juniper stands kind of in front of you all, and three other raven mounts also step forward. Juniper, with a little bit of light back in their voice, says, "Well, would you guys like to travel in style?" And that is real end of this week's episode. Hooray!
Hey!
See you next week. Bye.
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 Must say, it does an old man good to see someone as young as yourself. Say to
bring things back to the way they were. That happens so infrequently.
As long as we don't say make Deepwood great again.
I'm just thinking like, okay, boomer. Yeah. What's a Deepwoods boomer? Okay, bloomer.
Damn, there you go. Yeah.
That's good.
Nice.
Inspiration.
Nice, yeah. That was, so you beat me to that one. I'm so proud.